This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A new report says Michigan must make a greater investment in areas such as education, infrastructure, arts, and the environment. The interactive report and video, Michigan Dream at Risk, was produced by the Michigan Economic Center. CEO John Austin says it was inspired by one of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation's Pure Michigan videos.
Wasn't it Tim Allen and his voiceover? It was images, some words scrolling across, violins playing. And it was, you know, kids running out of the cottage and jumping in the lake. It was, they featured the number one public university in North America, it was University of Michigan. They were featuring the open road, people driving across Michigan. And you wanted and people marveling at the arts and culture, you know, the DIA, and looking in wonder at the Henry Ford kids there. And you want to stop it periodically and say, look, that number one public university, we've cut it, and the tuitions have doubled, and we've priced it out of reach for most families. Watch out on that open road. It's going to be full of potholes. That lake could have fecal matter. Beach closures have doubled in the last 10 years because we basically haven't been investing in cleanup. So the Pure Michigan that is so powerful, which is in those images that we love, is not as real as it needs to be.
John Austin is also the president of the Michigan Board of Education. Let me begin by asking you to define the Michigan Dream. What are the similarities and maybe some differences from the American Dream?
It's really the people of Michigan who gave us this picture, which I think those of us who grew up in Michigan, or I married into Michigan and been raising our family and working here for 20-some years. We did these wonderful focus groups and followed up with some survey work around the state last year. And part of the questions that we asked are, you know, what is unique about Michigan? What does Michigan mean to you? We even had people select from images the image of that ideal Michigan that represents that kind of ideal. And people, wherever they were, whether Detroit or up in Traverse City or out in western Michigan, all both named the same special attributes and even picked the same images. And one, it was a beautiful outdoors. I mean, the Great Lakes and enjoying that with your family and pictures of enjoying pure Michigan leap to the front of mind. People everywhere are proud of our great schools and universities and these kind of public universities, whether it's Western or University of Michigan or Michigan State, these great institutions, you know, people very, very committed and feel that's a very important part of the Michigan story of opportunity is to have these great both public schools but great higher education institutions as a path to a better life where hard work, when you talk to Michiganders, we're hard workers and we think hard work should be rewarded, and part of that is the chance to get a better life. If you work hard in school, you can have a better life for your kids. And then the iconic products that we make, you know, autos and maybe some new things, maybe some green infrastructure or windmills or new science that can create new jobs. The hard work creating new products and opportunity and great communities that are really nice places to raise a family. This is a family state, and people want to have communities, and certainly the Michigan Dream includes communities you can be proud of to raise a family that have good roads, that are attractive places, and that your kids want to stay in, that your kids want to stay and raise their families too and stay nearby. So we're a family state. We're a hardworking state. We are committed to education, and we enjoy our outdoors and the open road. And that's kind of the Michigan Dream as the pathway to opportunity. Great schools, great infrastructure, great hardworking people who create new ideas and new products. And you know, that's a picture of the beautiful outdoors that is so vivid right now as I'm looking out my window here in Ann Arbor, and I'm sure you're having a nice day out in Kalamazoo.
Well, we are, but I'm in a windowless room at the moment. But when you take that survey and focus groups and you get that feedback from people, did you also gauge them for are they willing to pay more to sustain these things or make them better than they are now?
Well, we also asked them, how are we doing at supporting these things, or what's the condition of these assets, our outdoors, our education institutions, our roads and our infrastructure, our communities? And they said very clearly that these things they value very much, that they think drive Michigan and really make it go as a unique and wonderful state and make it go economically, are degraded and diminished. We had a survey question that said, you know, 50%, over 50% of people thought that the basic services, you know, fire, water, roads, the condition of the parks and the community infrastructure, education had all been diminished over the last dozen years. And certainly in the report, you know, there's lots of facts and figures in the report, and I encourage people to go to the michigandream.org and just see the report and the video. It's not the facts and figures that really tell the story. It's what citizens of Michigan, many featured in the video and in the report, say matters, and they're not happy about the diminished condition of, you know, our roads. Our parks aren't being maintained. Our higher education institutions like Western, all of them, have doubled in their tuitions over the last 10 years because we've cut state support in real dollars 30% over the last 10 years. That's why tuitions are twice as high. Our great, almost free, high-quality higher education institutions are being priced out of reach of working people, and Michigan's people are not happy about that.
So if Michigan is going to invest in things like high-quality roads and more funding for state universities so they don't need to raise tuition as much and to protect the environment and all the things that you've mentioned, does that mean that Michigan citizens are going to have to pay more in taxes?
Yes, but here's the dirty little secret of what we've been doing as a state, I guess supporting our political leaders in doing it. We have basically been on a path of 12 or 13 years of reducing our tax rates, reducing taxes, basically the level of effort of what we, whatever incomes we have. And we've been through a rough patch with the Great Recession and the auto industry collapse. But the share of our income that we put into roads and higher education and our parks and our clean water and these public investments that we have to make together because they don't happen any other way, the share of income of our personal income in Michigan has dropped from 4% to 3% over the last 12 years. If we had the same corporate business tax rates, we've cut corporate business taxes dramatically. We're now like at the lowest level of any state in terms of our corporate business taxes, and we've been reducing the personal flat income tax for 12 or 13 years, basically. If we went back to the same tax rate, just the rates we had under Governor John Engler, Republican, we'd have $8 billion. We've basically taken $8 billion out of our willingness to pay for schools that would fix every pothole, that would make higher education affordable if we just had the same level of effort in taxation. We used to be bumping up against this Headley cap. You know, there was a state initiative that capped the amount of our income that could be basically spent on state and local taxes. We used to be bumping up against that. That's not true anymore. We're $8 billion below that Headley limit. We've got some room for and some need, clearly. I mean, everybody agrees we got to spend some more money to fix the roads. Our leaders cannot find the political spine to do it, to pull the trigger. And I think on education and on roads, Michigan's people are willing to support them. They want to pay money for great schools, not schools that are have giant class sizes and diminished arts and music and extracurriculars. And they want to pay to fix the roads. And when we ask citizens about why the roads matter to the economy and their communities, yes, it costs you money if you bang your tire in a pothole. But the main reason people are upset about the roads is they're embarrassed. People, our communities are falling apart, and people want to live in communities that they're proud of and raise a family. Who'd want to raise a family or have a business in a community that you can't keep the lights on or that the roads are a mess or that you've cut basically the life out of the public services? This is what, and why would anyone stay? Why would our kids stay in Michigan if it's in that condition? So this is the way people talked about it, and they talk in the video and in this interactive report telling us in those more personal ways why we need to do things that can rebuild the Michigan that is this Michigan dream.
Now, you say that the people support these ideas, and yet the politicians don't seem to have the political will to enact them. So how do you make that transition?
Then that's what we're encouraging people to help our leaders do, is sign up at the website, and we'll share your contact. And you know, if you want to help rebuild the Michigan dream, share it with advocacy organizations that are working on arts and culture, they're working on higher ed, that are working to help our political leaders have some more understanding that we care about these things. And I think people will support things they're emotionally connected to, and we have to get it away from a facts and figure argument to know this is about the Michigan dream, the Michigan that we love, and we want to have it rebuilt, not torn down. And that's got to be the message. But also, you know, we have to reverse this theology. You know, it's kind of a a religion that has dominated the political landscape, that if you cut taxes in the name of business friendliness and you basically reduce all these public investments that we make, that somehow will magically grow jobs in the economy. And that's just not true. And if anything, it disables the economy because you don't have good services, you don't have communities that people want to live in or businesses and entrepreneurs would want to locate in. You don't have well-educated people or a community. In Kalamazoo is a wonderful leader and exception. You yourselves said, we're going to be the community that organizes around being the best educated and higher education attainment and drive economic development through the Kalamazoo Promise. That's the way, and that's an investment. It's private dollars, but it's matched by a lot of public dollars and effort. But that's the kind of investment that pays off, that creates a climate where people want to live, work, grow a business, and you're reanimating people living in the city of Kalamazoo with that kind of investment in education. And that's how the economy works. You know, people want to live, work, be in places that have attributes that make them exciting, wonderful places to be, that include great schools, great opportunity for higher education, good services, nice quality of life, great place to raise a family, great place to run a business. It's hard to run a business when you don't have, you know, the basic infrastructure around to play in the economy, whether it's good roads or good other transportation options or good communications. All of those are things that we need to invest in together.
John Austin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
John Austin is director of the Michigan Economic Center. He's also the president of the Michigan State Board of Education. Longer versions of interviews and links with more information can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.